Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Andy.
And this is Streaming Things, the number one How to Train Your Dragon podcast.
You're goddamn right.
I'm pretty sure. Don't Google that. It's verified already. You don't need to. Steve's not here. He's out doing things.
Yeah, he's building our studio, man.
He's very, very busy. So this is going to be a weird week for Streaming Things listeners. I'm just going to tell you guys up front. We got a lot of pot. What is it? What is it? Cooks in the kitchen? No, that just means there's so many people. Pans in the fire?
Yeah. A lot of pans in the fire.
We got cooking metaphor.
A lot of balls in the air. We're spinning a lot of plates.
There's a lot of balls at Streaming Things, mm-hmm. and we can't handle them all. We need help.
Help us handle our balls, please.
So Steve's currently, you guys know this, we've talked about this. He's building the studio in his apartment and, you know, with soundproof boards and two, but there's lumber involved. Mm-hmm. He asked for a staple gun today.
I know. Isn't that dangerous?
But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how to use one.
He's going
to
be stapling all kinds of shit.
I didn't know he was pro gun, to be honest with you.
For real, man.
And now I just don't know how to feel about Steve.
I showed up. He had a states' rights flag.
Just said states' rights in Sharpie.
States' rights. States' rights. And he had the snake that's eating its own tail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just who he is now. He had one staple gun. That's all it took.
Don't step on snake. Step on snake. Have you seen those bumper stickers? So, you know, there's like all the, and I'm no offense to anybody who's like, you know, right wing or rural or whatever. We're just having fun. So we live in the South, but yeah. There's ones that
don't tread on me.
Yeah. They'd say, don't tread on me. And it's a foot on a snake. And my wife, we were driving and she saw one of those and she said, don't step on snake. I started dying. Like, that's hilarious. So anyway, yeah, Steve's doing that and he's got to hang like soundproof boards on the walls and then some soundproof material on the ceiling, all this stuff. And Andy and he are setting up cameras so yeah. We can do video content in addition to recording our audio content in that room. And it's a little stressful because we have until next Sunday, or as you hear this, it's Monday. So like 6 days from now, the premiere of House of the Dragon season one drops on August 21st.
Dude, that crept up on us fast.
So fast.
It's crazy.
And then we're presumably going to keep up with all of our Crossing Streams type stuff as well for people that aren't into fantasy. And then, but then 2 weeks later, the Rings of Power drops. So we'll be recording those recaps every Friday and then the House of the Dragon episodes every Sunday, in addition to whatever else we do. And then Patreon content as well. And so Steve edits all that stuff. And then, you know, there's a lot of preparation and stuff that goes into it as well. So he's like, hey man, I'm going to sit the How to Train Your Dragon out and just keep building these, putting these 2x4s together and whatnot or whatever, because we do want to debut
stapling
the video content on House of the Dragon. And we also have
coming soon to a YouTube near you
extra Patreon tiers to unveil that same day. It's a lot of back of the house work. So I don't know for sure what's going to, if we're going to be able to drop our normal other two episodes this week. I hope so. We might do some re-releases or something like that. I do want to do a trivia game for House of the Dragon, the Rings of Power. So there might just be one other episode. I don't know. That's all I'm telling you guys. If you're hearing me, there's a bunch of question marks in everything I'm saying, because we want to make sure that our launch for House of the Dragon is as successful as it was for Stranger Things. And that's a tall order.
That is a tall
order. Because we were the number one.
The number one. Dude, we did really, really well with that. I feel like we're going to crush it. I feel like we're pretty entertaining, so. Folks. We've read the books. We know what's up.
Yeah. Well, the book.
The book.
Yeah. And the other books, just for some ancillary content.
We read all kinds of books.
Yeah, so many books.
We're bibliophiles.
Mm-hmm. And bibliophiles, Andy's got a bunch of library subscriptions that you guys are well aware of. Mm-hmm. So really excited for that. And I guess in my heart of hearts, if I'm just going to, you know, bear it all for you folks, just expose myself here on the show.
Well, don't do that.
I'm a little bit nervous, right? Because
what are you nervous about?
I don't want to be a one hit wonder.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait until Stranger Things season 5 in 2 years.
You don't want to be a Kate Bush?
Yeah. I don't want to be running up that hill 40 years from now and everybody's like, hey, remember that podcast? And then it'll just catch fire again when I'm in my 60s.
Hey, dude, if we're in our 60s and we suddenly start making millions of dollars for the work we're doing right now, I won't say no to that.
Sure. But that's less likely, right?
Yeah.
They just put an entire podcast episode on some random show on Netflix in the background while Sadie Sink's running. That'd be weird.
It'd be awesome.
That would be weird. Welcome back. And it's just her running through the void. Of course, it's my line that I envisioned.
Sadie Sink is like 50 years old in this, just running up the hill.
It's just Steve real quietly in the background. A terrible wound. So, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of a fear of mine. So I really want this launch to go well. I know that there's this competition is stiff. There's a ton of big names out there in the House of the Dragon world, at least that made their fame with Game of Thrones coverage, right? And so they've got a lot easier of a transition going from Game of Thrones to House of the Dragon.
They do.
Than
they
we do going from Stranger Things to House of the Dragon.
We're Rocky, they're Drago, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got this shit.
And they're like, if he dies, he dies. And I'm like, what?
I know.
Can't we just both podcast?
Yeah.
But today we're going to be talking about how to train your dragon, which is some useful information you might need when you are watching House of the Dragon. So we put out a dragon poll, which just sounds like a move that you put on to your loved one. Give her the old dragon poll. And I honestly was disappointed, if I'm being honest, Andy, because I wanted to watch Reign of Fire so badly.
And dude, you had to have known that this was done.
Honestly, I'm an idiot. I don't. Like, we got a Patreon poll right now. Lost Boys is crushing it.
Yeah.
It is not even close. And that's the obvious winner. And yet, I am mortified that I don't get to watch literally any of the other three. Like, yeah. I would have been happy with even Final Destination just because, hear me out, it's not that Final Destination is a better movie than The Lost Boys.
It's a good movie.
But knowing the kind of podcast that we run, knowing the kind of people that we are, it's like, where are the goofy voices going to come in? Where is the shenanigans the highest, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely RoboCop, right?
Yeah.
Like Steve Murphy, like that. He would have a fucking blast.
Murphy.
Final Destination maybe isn't the best one. So I think it's right on par with Lost Boys, but I really wanted to watch Tombstone. Like, I just in general,
it's a really good movie.
In general, really want to watch Tombstone.
Yeah.
And then I've held off like, oh, maybe we should do that for the show. And I don't want to, you know what I mean? Blow my load early and watch it too soon.
Yeah. Premature Tombstone.
And I've been wanting to watch RoboCop again. So, but I just watched Lost Boys like 4 months ago to show it to my son.
Oh, you did?
And so,
I didn't know this.
But it's not recent enough to where I can get away with not watching it again. Oh, so yeah, I'm in like the worst spot right now.
No, it's okay.
I don't really want to watch that. I just watched it, but not recently enough to where I can, yeah, whatever. So anyway, so you would think that I would be good at like, oh, that's going to win. No, no. I thought I had a shoe-in with RoboCop. And I think RoboCop's at like 8%.
Oh, no.
So
that's fair, man. But so you really thought that Reign of Fire was going to beat out How to Train Your Dragon?
I thought it was a sleeper hit. Okay. Like, I thought, here's your thinking is what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Is like,
well, I was thinking it too.
Everybody's seen How to Train Your Dragon so many times that that's not what they want to hear us talk about it. Right. They want to hear, oh my God, that fucking crazy ass movie with Matthew McConaughey and he's bald and he's got the axe.
I didn't know Matthew McConaughey was in that movie.
Have you never seen it?
No, I haven't.
So
I hadn't seen How to Train Your Dragon.
It's actually really interesting. Matthew McConaughey, I'm going to talk about it now because these motherfuckers wouldn't vote for it. Matthew McConaughey did only romantic comedies. He's got a really interesting life. I read his whole autobiography. He did only romantic comedies in the beginning after Richard Linklater's Dazed and Confused. He got, you know, with J-Lo and all that stuff, like a bunch of how to lose a guy in 10 days, Hudson, all that stuff. Yeah. He was just that guy. And he was making $2 to $5 million per picture. And it was amazing. But he was like, I want to be an artist. I want to do like a cool movie. And he wasn't getting any of those roles.
But I want
to
do
it. So he got offered $5 million to do a romantic comedy. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. It's a fugazi. And they were like, okay, we'll give you $10 million. Yeah. And he said, no, I'm not doing it for $10 million. They said 15. He said, no, I'm not doing it for $15 million. He said, $20 million, Matthew. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing any more of those movies. I told you. Send me something else. Just let me do some other kind of work.
Send me something else.
And then they didn't send him a single script for almost 3 years. And he was getting really worried. Like, maybe I put my foot down a little too hard.
That $20 million sounds really good right now.
He was really upset about it. But then I think Reign of Fire was his first like non-romantic comedy. Like, you're going to shave your fucking head and go crazy and carry this axe. And anyway, so it's an interesting story. And like, it's a movie I haven't seen since I was a little kid. And part of me was like, maybe it's like a really good movie. And I just don't remember it that way. But I'll never know. Because I can't watch movies unless they're on the podcast. That's my new rule.
Oh, really?
No, okay. I just made that up.
So you watch it all the time. When we're doing Crossing Streams, you're like, I've watched 18 movies. I've seen two.
I just love movies, man.
Oh, I get it.
I hadn't seen 50 episodes of The Last Kingdom in the past couple of weeks, I would have watched so many movies.
Did you finish that yet?
I'm on the finale of season 5, which I think is the finale of the show. And then there's supposed to be a movie if they can get the funding to kind of wrap everything up. Well, I got a couple messages about mentioning The Last Kingdom, and they're like, man, it's really good. I know. I understand what you're saying about shitting on it a little bit, but it's really good. And it is.
Ulrich, son of Ulrich. What's his name?
Uhtred, son of Uhtred. It's fascinating. I think you'll understand this because I kind of give you shit a lot. Like, you got to watch this South Korean horror masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, I'm going to watch Drive again or whatever. Right.
It's like, a great movie.
I give you shit sometimes. And the Drive was a terrible example because that's not an easy watch. It's a Nicholas Winding Refn movie. But still, I can't think of an example of what something you would watch for maybe How I Met Your Mother or something.
Or Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah, Harry Potter. And it's like, this week has been so mentally exhausting that when I have a second, or I'm holding the baby or whatever, I turn on the TV, I'm like, I really want to watch The Wailing, this 2.5 hour South Korean horror masterpiece that I've heard that's been on my watch list for months. And I know it's going to be amazing. But like, the fact that it's amazing sounds fucking terrible to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mentally, I'm like, I don't want to be taken on any kind of emotional roller coaster.
Dude, I get it.
I want to watch this fucking hot garbage with killing and the straightforward plot and like, I love it. And it's taking me out of myself. It's exactly what I need. I press play on episode after episode. Like, fucking, what is he going to do in this sitch?
That's why I do so many rewatches. Sometimes you just don't have like the mental capacity to deal with like drama that you're unaware of already. Like watching a show like that, you know what's going to happen. They just recycle you the way you described it. At least they recycle the same general plot thread every season.
100%.
Like, okay.
It's like the same.
Find a girl. Something's going to happen to her and I'm going to need to get revenge in some way. So there's no like real emotional investment. And if you have a lot going on in your life or even just in your head, regardless of what's going on in your life, sometimes it's a lot better to just be able to escape into comfort food. And so I think we did an episode once before, streaming.
It's one of our most listened to episodes prior to our Stranger Things 4 surge.
Well, listeners, go back and listen to it because I doubtlessly brought up Harry Potter in that because like it's just something that
doubtless
we're
indubitably.
I definitely would have brought up like How I Met Your Mother or something. Just mindless shit. And so I respect it. You know, The Wailing can wait.
But now I'm almost done.
Yeah.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred, has returned to Bebbanburg, I think. And now what am I going to do?
Well, then you go back and you're like, oh, my God, look where they came from. And you just start
over again.
Over again, man.
Honestly, season 3, I think, was a high point. He ran into this. What was her name? He ran into this crazy like
was Uhtred.
No, it wasn't Uhtred. He's Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Yeah.
Whose older brother was named Uhtred.
Yeah.
And his son's name's Uhtred as well.
Cousin Uhtred.
It's actually really funny. His older brother dies in like the pilot. And his name is like Gorble or something stupid. So it's Uhtred's the dad. Older brother's name is Uhtred, the heir to the throne. So when older brother gets murdered and like dies in battle, the dad comes back in and he's like, oi, your name's Uhtred now. And he rebaptizes him like fucking whoever's lord of this is going to be named Uhtred. And your brother died. So that's your name now. And that's the main character. So it's just funny to remember Uhtred's not actually his name.
That's so fucked up.
And he says it so many times. And it's like, I want like his third grade buddy to come up like, hey, what's up, Gorble? And
Don't date me.
So, yeah. But anyway, that enough about The Last Kingdom and whatnot. Like I said, we're mentally fucked right now trying to get all this stuff together because, you know, we were like, do we have the money to buy these cameras that we may or may not need? Are we going to know how to use them if we buy them now? Or are they going to come in the mail fast enough if we do buy them now? And we have a bunch of like, Andy does have a bunch of like $10,000 cameras for movie making.
Some cinema stuff.
And that's overkill for what we're trying to do. So it's like, okay, should we just do the first? Anyway, that's where our heads are at. We're just trying to plan all that out for House of the Dragon, baby.
Yeah. And so in the meantime, let's hang out and watch some DreamWorks.
DreamWorks sounds like a gay bar. Dude. I met a guy at DreamWorks. That's a Judd Apatow joke.
He was all right. Oh, really?
Yeah. Seth Rogen says that in one of his movies. It might even be Zach and Miri. I'm not sure. I don't think so. It might be. It might be a Kevin Smith line.
I met a guy at DreamWorks.
He's right. It does sound like that.
It does.
So how to train. Well, before we get into that, one couple less business things. You can email the show, of course. Please continue to do that. I'm kind of coming out of the newborn baby fog a little bit, and I'm going to start answering these emails a little more, immediately.
That baby funk will get you.
Baby funk does get me. Her umbilical cord finally fell off. Aww. Oh, my God. I was like, should we save this nasty little thing? I think so. And my wife was like, well, I think you can use it for like stem cells later in life if needed. And I was like, way to be very forced.
It's going to be this little fucking raisin hanging out in the freezer.
You need this. we can grow a new leg with that. But who knows by then, 20 years from now, I'm going to be so glad we kept that thing.
Where do you keep it? Is there like a
right now? It's just on a piece of toilet paper on the sink in the bathroom. It just looks like a big booger. But you can email the show streamingthingspod@gmail.com.
You can tell us your thoughts on umbilical cords.
You can also sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings. That's patreon.com/streamingthings to sign up for a variety of tiers for a myriad rewards and benefits.
Cornucopia,
which are going to get even more myriad, if that's grammatically correct. House of the Dragon. We're going to add some more tiers, discords perhaps, so we can have a giant community where we can hang out together.
We're still researching the Discord, so the tiers are coming very, very soon.
We don't know, but it's stuff. Mm-hmm. No, and TEARs are coming as well, because we are stressed.
Tears? No.
What is that, a homophone? Homonym?
Homonym, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, sounds the same, or sounds spelled the same with different meanings.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Homonym.
It's a word.
Yes.
That's Patreon. And then you can follow me, Chris, on Twitter @MoviesAreTherapy. You can follow the show on Twitter @StreamThingPod. You can follow Steve on Twitter @SteveMay13. And Andy.
13th of his name. @AndyMostDays.
That's right. If you just want to tweet us and talk to us, maybe recommend a show to us, we love that shit because we like shows. We do indeed. And I think that's all the business news. So we just finished watching How to Train Your Dragon. My note-taking abilities, which typically falls upon me, that is one of my responsibilities, very weak because I typically have a two-week-old baby in one of my arms while I'm watching these now. And so navigating the pen and paper is just too tough. How many times have you, what's your experience previously with this movie, and what was it like watching it this time?
I alluded to it briefly when we were talking about Reign of Fire and the fact that I have not seen that. I had never seen this movie.
Really?
Yeah, this is the first. We've talked.
I think you told me that before.
That I'm not a huge animated movie guy. I like them. I just don't actively seek them out. And so every once in a while, I watch one, usually for the show. And so it's always kind of a pleasure to be introduced to things that I otherwise probably would not have watched ever. I would have had no reason to watch this. Most of my nieces and nephews are too old to be interested in this kind of thing anymore. Maybe when I have kids. But anyway, yeah, all to say is that no, I didn't know anything about this whatsoever. I had seen the pictures of Toothless before. I'm pretty sure there's a TV show about this.
Oh, there's tons of spinoffs.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, I knew nothing. I didn't even know who voiced the cast. But very immediately, I was like, oh, that's Jay Baruchel.
Yes, Jay Baruchel is super recognizable. Did you look up the voice cast?
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Stellar cast.
Oh, dude, for real.
And David Tennant's in it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
David Tennant was in it?
Yeah, so it's got Gerard Butler, I know, plays the dad, Stoic.
And then it's got Jonah Hill, TJ Miller.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse, fucking McLovin.
Yeah, McLovin's in there.
Craig Ferguson, that's right, he plays Gobber. America Ferrera is Astrid. And Kristen Wiig is Roughnut. And then David Tennant is Spittaloot. Spitelout. Maybe it's Spitelout.
Spitelout. Dang, dude. Now I got to watch it again. Shit.
I think this is an incredible voice cast. I love this movie. I think you would have to be dead for this not to be in your wheelhouse anymore. And to be of an age for this not to be a good movie, you'd have to be deceased.
Just, yeah. Not of any age.
Because honestly, the second one is better than this one, probably.
There's two.
There's three.
Oh,
and it's
shit.
A phenomenal trilogy. Like, it is up there. Kung Fu Panda trilogy, good.
Never seen that either.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes trilogy, okay, good.
I've seen those.
You've never seen the Kung Fu Pandas either?
Uh-uh.
Jack Black, man.
Yeah, I love
Skadoosh.
Jack Black. Skadoosh. Is that a line from that?
Yeah, that's a baller-ass line from Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda is amazing. They're making a Kung Fu Panda 4 now, and everybody's super hyped.
Okay. Well, I will watch it.
Yeah. So this movie was a smashing success. It is lauded as one of the great trilogies. I adore this movie. Haven't seen it in a little while. It came out in 2010. I wonder to myself why the Vikings accent were Scottish.
That is a really good question.
Because they hired Gerard Butler, so that might be an accident, right? Like, that's just how he talks. Mm-hmm. But then it seems like they went out of their way to also hire Craig Ferguson.
Is also Scottish.
Is he Scottish? And then it seems like everybody else was kind of mimicking a Scottish accent, except for Jay Baruchel. He just was like, I can't, guys.
Dude, I could not get it out of my head that wasn't Jay Baruchel, or that it was Jay Baruchel. Like, at no point was I like, oh, it's Hiccup. And I was like, no, this is just the adventures of Jay.
But it works. It's
Jay,
like
his dragon.
If you picture the kid from Freaks and Geeks just running around this Viking village fighting dragons, it still works.
I had the same experience watching Ratatouille and Patton Oswalt. Like, I couldn't get over that. That's Patton Oswalt's voice, you know? But the voice cast is phenomenal. It was just my experience the whole time. I'm just like, hey, it's the she's just not that into you guy. That's cool.
Yeah.
But so you've seen all of the movies multiple times, I take it?
I have. I've seen the first one multiple times. I've seen two and three for sure, at least once. And now I want to watch them again. I might go watch two when I get home, because my wife was super hyped once you watched the first one. Where did you stream this?
It is on Amazon Prime.
Kinda.
For free. It's
with
called
commercials.
With commercials, and it's called Freebie.
That's how I watched it too.
Yeah.
It was painful. How I feel about commercials.
I'm not big on commercials either. So to be completely honest, I watched this movie while I was also trying to catch up on chores around the house. Mm-hmm. So anytime the commercials came up, I was just like, okay, cool, fold the laundry or something, you know?
Yeah.
So my experience with it was not that bad. And I didn't feel like the ads were all that intrusive. They were generally pretty short, and it was like 15 second ads and you're right back into the ad.
Some of them were over a minute. Yeah. Like, every now and then they have to throw the honker in there.
The honker.
It's the timing for these streaming services that throw commercials on stuff that isn't designed to have commercials. They just seem to not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there was literally a commercial at the end. Like,
oh yeah, like right when the
right as the credits were about to start, it went, and it just crushed my soul. It took me out of it, because I'm like, tears welling, I'm feeling great, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, the Swiffer WetJet 5000, it'll jack you off. And I was like, what?
That sounds awesome.
And I just don't know why they can't hire somebody to like click here, this would be a good spot, or they just don't give a fuck. It's like right at the height of the tension,
or in
something.
The middle of a line sometimes.
Yeah, but I get it, it's just an algorithm that's popping them in randomly. Probably our listeners are like, hey, you know those Buzzsprout ads you throw in? Those aren't timed very well. And I'm like, I bet they're not, because we don't control that. Sorry.
Trying to pay the bills.
Gotta get more patrons. No. for real. But so what was your experience watching the movie?
Dude, I loved it. I thought that it was wildly predictable, but I feel like most DreamWorks, you know, Pixar movies are. So immediately it was like,
what did you predict? You predicted that. What did you walk me through this?
As soon as he had taken down the dragon that's eventually named Toothless. And can we say just spoilers in general?
Oh yeah. Spoilers from here on out for How to Train Your Dragon from 2010.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're entering spoiler territory.
You're bullshit.
Boom. So, as soon as he started to befriend the dragon, I was like, oh, the whole arc is going to be that ultimately he changes the way that the Vikings live their lives, and they're going to live in harmony with the dragons rather than...
Sure. But did you know that the dragons were friendly in Act 1? It could be. They're a little cartoonish. So
yeah,
it's like,
well, like, as soon as he, like... down the one and went and met
the Night Fury, man.
The Night Fury. As soon as he downed Toothless and like didn't immediately kill, I was like, okay, they're going to be friends, and then all they're going to live in harmony with the dragons, plural, not just the one. So yeah, sure. Yeah, I absolutely saw where that was going to go. Now, as far as like him becoming like kind of a dragon whisperer, things like that, no, I didn't see that coming. That was a lot of fun. That was probably like the most promise of the premise entertaining of the movie, where he's like figures out all these different ways to
scratch under the chin. Use the grass,
little grass.
It's like really dragon nip.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah, I didn't think about that. It's definitely Toothless is like a cat, huh?
Looks
like one.
And sure. Even at one point when he meets Toothless, he hops up on a rock. Like when they start to be kind of friendly, mm-hmm. and he like does the show. You can't see me, audience, but like the shoulder shake that cats do.
Little pushing.
No, not the pushes. Like right before they pounce, when they kind of move both their shoulders and settle in, and then they jump when they're being playful. Toothless does that.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
He's a cutie.
He's
a big old cutie, but he's a Night Fury.
Yeah.
Shoots like the purple fire, which is awesome. Yeah. I love it, dude.
Little explosions.
So I think it's the third one where there's like a female Night Fury. And so it's a love story for the dude. I'm telling you, the other movies are, you're going to cry.
I did think that I teared up during this one for sure. I did think that Toothless was going to be a girl, like that was going to be like a misunderstanding. And like, because Toothless doesn't like Astrid, the love interest, America yeah. Ferrera's character early on. I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be like a slight jealousy kind of thing. And then we're going to eventually find, oh, Toothless was a girl all along. But so that was not a thing. But I totally thought that was going to be the case. So I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
But as far as like the overall arc of the movie, yeah, it was pretty straightforward, I feel like, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Absolutely. I love this movie. And if you know, the whole setup, I think is great. And it's classic. It's maybe a bit cliche, or definitely a lot of tropes, right? Like especially for like these animated films, you've got the dad played by Gerard Butler, who's like the fiercest warrior in the village. And then the effeminate, underachieving, not like him at all. Son, mom's out of the picture, right? So the dad's extra gruff and angry because he's lonely, puts all of his aggression and stuff and hopes and dreams onto his son. I love that whole setup because it works every time. And then and I keep wanting to call him Jay, but
it is Jay. It's very Jay. Hiccup
wants to please his father. He wants to be the best dragon slayer in the land, but he also knows in his heart of hearts that's probably not going to work out, right? So he's working for Craig Ferguson down there in the smithy shop, and it turns out he's a pretty decent engineer.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like he made that. There's a word for that. Like the kind of weapon that it is, where you throw it and it's like two balls and a string and it ropes up people's legs, but he can't throw them, right? Cause he's weak. So he invents a machine to shoot them, and that's how he gets the Night Fury. But
little stringy balls,
that whole setup I thought was awesome. The whole opening monologue. That's when I wanted to cry, was at the end when he re-brought up the monologue, you know, when he was like, this is Burke, you know, we've got shitty food and even shittier people. but we have really cool pets, and that's the upside. And now they're all flying dragons or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's the opposite of the way that the movie opened. And I'm like tearing up, like, that'd be fucking dope.
Yeah, I want to play around a little dragon, hang out.
Another
fucking people.
Part that almost made me cry was the first time Astrid rides Toothless. Mm-hmm. When she opens her eyes and it's the sunset and stuff. And he's actually like showing her how cool it is. Like for some reason, I just get all really well done. America Ferrera. Really well done.
Show you the world. That was straight up an Aladdin moment.
Yeah, for sure.
But
there's a little monkey and shit.
I teared up a little bit during the climax with when Toothless's tail. It was a weird time to tear up. It was when Toothless's tail caught fire.
Was burning and they were fleeing that giant
just like,
monster.
Oh no, don't hurt the fucking little dragon. Like when, the little dragon.
When Toothless is in the ocean, he's still chained.
Oh yeah,
and
that too.
The moment where Hiccup is trying so hard to free him that he drowns briefly because he wasn't going to swim up without him. Like that, just that level of friendship and bond, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good, that's a really good part.
I really respect these kids movies that have these deep bonds with what is essentially an animal. Because I never had that as a kid. I had two dogs when I was really little, Boomer and Goliath. And
I don't think I knew them.
No, I mean, I was three and then Boomer bit me. And like really badly on the hand when I was like three. And then we had to move to the apartment because of poverty. So we had to give those to like friends of my dad's or whatever. So from age of, so I didn't have any memory. I have very like fuzzy memory, two fuzzy memories of the dogs. So from age three until like 18, I didn't have any pets, unlike most people. Mm-hmm. And except for a couple fish that my brother had. And
well, you had Kentucky Fried Chris. I remember
that. Yeah, that fish. Yeah. That Mike gave me.
Yeah, my brother-in-law got Chris accidentally set his head on fire at my house when we were playing with kerosene. So dangerous game, but yes, badly. And he worked at a pet shop at the time and got you, I think, a betta fish and told you it was called KFC.
Kentucky Fried Chris. That's right. Because he had a good sense of humor. He was like, oh, and I took my bandages off. He's like, oh, man, I thought you were going to look all Vanilla Sky and shit. I'll never forget him saying that because I'd like just watched that. Like, huh? It hurt really bad.
Yeah, I fucking love that movie, but that's neither here nor there.
And that dude. Yeah. But yeah, so I didn't have any pets until I was like 18. I got a cat named Mary Jane. And then Mary Jane ran away like a year later.
I forgot about Mary Jane.
And then I got another cat with my son's mother when we were together, and we had Kiki, who I named Lotus, and then my son was three and kept saying, "Hey, Kiki," because they're trying to say "Kitty, Kitty," and like her name became Kiki, and I was like, "God damn it!"
All right, Lotus,
nowhere Kiki. Near as cool as Lotus. And then I lost that cat in that separation, right? So now I have two dogs, and I've been like over the last 4 years with my wife. Because they, you know, they were her dogs. Well, we got them together, but I don't know how to take care of dogs, or I didn't. I had no bond with an animal like this before. But now, like, I'm starting to get it. Mm-hmm. Like, they are brethren of mine. They are members of the family.
They're little family members. They're little people, man.
And so now, like, these kinds of movies hit me different is what I'm, that's a long way of saying I get it now, right? Where it's like, because it used to be kind of like, all right, dude, like,
kill that fucking dragon. You'd be a super badass. Everybody, all the chicks are going to want you. And
maybe not that, but like,
cool armor out of its skin.
Other movies where, like, there's the dog in the house and like, he's like looking at his daughter and then looking at the dog. And there's that moment of, what do I do? I've always, before, I'd be like, the fucking person, dude. Save the person.
Fuck that.
But now I'm like,
I Am Legend did nothing for you.
Not as much as it would now. Not as much as it would now. Oh, man. I actually rewatched that with my dog.
Oh, no.
And that was very sad because I was like holding him.
I'll never really do tight.
I'll never do it. what was I watching the other day that was so brutal? I had to like hold Jax. It wasn't dog related. It just, I don't remember, but it like he was comforting to me. It was a very disturbing movie. Yeah. Okay. I forget what it was.
He was a little service animal for a second.
He was. Awesome. It is helpful. Like serotonin or whatever. Super. It's true though. Like Jax, my dog, Dobby's kind of an idiot. He's really smart, but like he's, I don't think he cares about me at all.
Right.
For the most part.
You are the source of food.
Maybe. I don't know. He's just a little more stubborn and cold hearted, but Jax is like die hard for the humans. He fucking loves the humans so much. And nothing will ever love me as much as Jax does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even my daughter, like 16 years old, won't even like me until she's like 40.
And for sure. At which point you'll be dead.
Yeah. And it's like, oh man, too late now. I'm just a stone. But Jax is like, what's up, man? Hey man, I love you, dude. You need anything? All the time, constantly. Right. You know?
Yeah, no, well, you hear that all the time when people talk about like why are animals' lifespans so short? It's because like they're so perfect and they expend all of their energy and love. And so that's what whenever an animal passes, that's like the kind of meme that you'll see on Twitter that people will share with whatever celebrity whose dog just died.
Yeah, right. Sure.
But all to say is that, yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's something to that, that they are a thousand, and we did breed them, so there is that, but, and we bred them to be cute and loving and to rely on us, but they're, I think there is something to be said for the, like, the pure innocence of them, and we project on them a little bit, but it's also just kind of true, like, that dogs are absolutely, when they say that, like, dogs love humans, it's, or, you know, love their owners and stuff, like, they really genuinely truly do, and you can see, like, scientific studies of, like, the way that their brain reacts, and, like, it is genuine love that the animal feels, and that's incredible, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll also say is that I've always been a dog person. Like, cats can eat my ass. I'm not a big cat guy.
Sure,
cats are mean. I've
got some cute kitties.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always forget that you have cats. I hang out and they're not there. But
I know I'm in a weird. It's cool that life took me where I'm at, because now I lived on my own my entire life, usually homeless. Like, let's be honest. But, like, most of the time, sure. I was a cowboy. We'll say is, like, the optimistic way of looking at it, right?
Right.
And now I have two children, two cats, two dogs, two wives. I'm just kidding. One wife.
Utah's awesome.
Two friends, Andy and Steve. And it's just like, wow, that's a lot, man.
A lot too.
Like 1,200 Blu-rays.
That's really? Dang.
So much to live for.
For real.
And not in that order.
But, you know, the dogs are the most important part. So when the house is burning down, it's Aria or Dobby, you go for Dobby.
Well, my wife can run, and definitely, yeah. I'm not, are you saying the dogs or the cats?
Oh, well, like, if it's between dogs and cats, like, I give the cat a kick on the way out and leave it.
I feel like they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
They hide really well.
Yeah, they land on their feet. No, I do like cats. I like to give them shit just because cats give you shit.
They are in their amount of love is inferior to dogs, but that's why the scene where Toothless, there's a part where Hiccup is in peril because he's fighting. I forget what the dragon's called, but it's the dragon that catches itself on fire. It's like the monstrous whatever.
Oh shit.
It's like one of the top tier dragons.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, dragon whisper it, and the dad stoic ruins it. Mm-hmm. And there's that scene where,
it's a nightmare or something.
Toothless is like sleeping, and his ears perk up, and then he climbs out because he's not supposed to get out because he can't fly without Hiccup. I love it because then he just runs and puts himself in so much jeopardy because Jax would 100% do that. So, and that it just hit different because now I have that experience, you know? So Jax hates violence at all. He can't stand it. Hi, Penny. So Penny heard us talking about dogs.
Hearing how much we were loving on dogs. She's like, you can love on me a little bit.
Jax hates violence of any kind. So, like, whenever we know this, so we pretend to fight to see what he'll do. Just, you know, I don't know. Just being fun messing with the dog.
Which one of you are you going to, which one of us are you going to protect?
So I'll like grab her shoulders and go, rah! And he goes apeshit. He can't stand it. And it's not even so much that he's attacking me or trying to, he just gets between us.
Yeah.
Like, or if I'll pretend to punch her, like I'll punch my hands near her and he'll jump in the middle.
He's like, hey, you guys quit it.
It's almost friends. Like, he's like, hit me if you're going to hit somebody, you know? And it's just like, you are such a sweet person, like not a person, but thing. I love you so much.
Older brother stepping in front of the abusive dad.
Just like without a thought to his own well-being. Mm-hmm. Just like, hey, we all love here. That's it. You know?
Maybe he just knows that you're playing and he wants in on the game.
You have to. I'll do it next time you're over.
Okay.
I'll show you what's up. I bet he would do it if I tried to hit you. He just does not like any kind of bad vibes at all.
It's like, you guys need to mellow out, man.
And my beagle will like jump on him and try to wrestle all the time. And he's like, hey, man. He's like Argyle is what I should have named him. Whoa, man. What are you doing? We're just trying to chill out, man. You need some purple palm tree delight. That's what you need, Dobby.
You chill
somebody
out,
give
Daddy.
This guy some fucking socks, man. I'm trying to. You're about to get smacked, man. That's what he looks like.
Don't be smacked.
Because Jax is way bigger and he just takes it all the time. Like I give him treats and stuff and Dobby will eat his treat and then go eat Jax's. And Jax is like four times his size and so much faster. But he's just like, hey, man.
That's not cute.
That man. Was mine, man. You had one. I guess you're really hungry, man.
That's so, all right. I didn't need it, really.
I hope you guys are enjoying this How to Train Chris's Dog review. I'm a little brain celled out and we didn't take notes, but you guys seen the movie, man. He trains the fucking dragon, man. And it's like, woo, and they fly and it's like, ah, and then it's over, man. That's a good podcast about movies. Steve, we need you. my powers are like diminished without Steve. I'm Samson and he's my hair.
No, I understand, man. Well, I feel like you're
literally bald right now.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, man.
So you guys get it, right? Like Hiccup, he just feels like an outcast. You get it. He feels like an outcast. He wants to date Astrid, but she's like the fiercest warrior in the village, and they're all training to be Vikings. Dad goes out on a voyage to find the nest of the dragons, and whilst on that voyage, a Hiccup finds Toothless, trains him, adds a little fin to, you know, they can't. That's what I love about a tooth. There's a symbiosis to it because he teaches Toothless how to fly again, but he can't fly without Hiccup riding him because he's got that little foot pedal to like, you know, extend it and stuff and do like airplane type stuff. I don't know airplane words, but you know,
yeah, just fins,
tilt and yaw, like yaw and yaw. Pitch.
All their yawing all over the place. Yeah,
they're pitching and yawing and shit. It's like Top Gun Maverick style.
Yeah.
And then eventually the dad finds out that he's not actually like a fierce Viking warrior. Well,
the dad comes back from the trip completely unsuccessful.
Correct.
They kind of fake you out. They make it seem like something bad might have happened to him because they sail off into the fog, and then you see like a fog dragon light up the sky in the clouds that you can't see what's going on, and that cuts away, and so it's kind of like a Frozen moment. That's one I have seen a bunch of times. So it's like Frozen where the ship ship starts to crash or whatever, and it cuts away. It's like, uh-oh, what happened there? The dad had acquiesced to what was Hiccup's long-standing desire, which was to join the dragon fighting training. Like that, and that's an interesting aspect to, I think, the overall arc of the character, is that like it wasn't just like he was the effeminate disappointment that like didn't want to be everything that his father wanted to instill in him. He did want that. He was just hopeless. And so it's actually kind of interesting from that perspective. It wasn't like hey, my way is the right way. It was he was ill-fitted for the lifestyle that he was actively trying to pursue.
Discovered himself yet.
So he signs up for the dragon training with Astrid and Toughnut and Lugnut. I can't remember what their names were.
There's Toughnut and Roughnut, I think.
Toughnut, that's Kristen Wiig and TJ Miller.
Yeah.
And then Fish Legs.
And I know TJ Miller, I forget what he did that was really controversial. I think he's a super asshole and that's well known. But he always works for me. Like I do find him funny.
He is so funny.
Like
he really
is. I love the movie Underwater and he's a huge part of that.
I'm pretty sure he's a piece of shit, but I don't remember why.
It's Toughnut and Roughnut. Jonah Hill is Snotlout.
Snotlout.
And then David Tennant is Spitelout. And then America Ferrera, of course, is Astrid. And then Craig Ferguson is the guy with one arm and one leg that trains them. Mm-hmm. So they go through the training. And you're right. It's not like his dad is imposing a lifestyle upon him that he doesn't want. And he just hasn't had the courage to speak up to him. It's not one of those stories. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like me and my dad. I wanted to be a man's man. I wanted to go into construction, to play sports. I just was ill suited for that. You know, I was just really clumsy, and unable to grasp geometry and certain things you know, my measure twice and cut once, son, you know, absolutely, dad. Measure twice, cut, come back. What the fuck did you do? Honestly, dad, I don't know. I measured three times and I thought I cut the shit out of that.
I got three different measurements too.
And then I stood the door up and it doesn't fit in the hole and doesn't cover the whole hole. So I'm pretty confused. Your guess is as good as mine. You know, I was pretty good at painting. That was it. But anyway, so I understand that completely what you're trying to say. It was like I did also want that dream, but it took me a long time to realize I was a studious person.
Right? Sure, sure. I just thought that was an interesting aspect to his character. Not the type of story that you generally, not the type of arc, I should say, that it's not the type of arc you see often with these types of movies. It's usually the imposition of,
yeah, like, I just want to dance. And he's like sneaking out to dance.
Exactly. And, right.
And this, I think it's actually pretty dark, like, because they've killed thousands of these dragons.
Sure.
That were the entire time very, not only like sentient, but like extremely docile, friendly creatures that were under the thumb of an actual nasty large beast. And they were just stealing the food to give to that dragon. or whatever that is.
That's where I'm most confused about this movie. Like, what was that dragon? What was the relationship? Like, what is like a queen bee situation? Maybe
it's kind of like a hive, but I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there's any kind of familial relationship to it. I just know that it said, I will stay here. I will not fly out of here and eat all of you if you bring me food. Was right. Like the, you know, tacit understanding.
Because it seemed like all of the other dragons very quickly were like, oh, we're killing that one now.
Fuck this dude. Yeah.
So that the turn happened pretty fast. But again, it's a DreamWorks movie, whatever. But yeah, I was just really interested in the dynamic. Do they go in any more into like the social dynamics of dragons in the sequel?
Yeah, they explore all kinds of stuff that goes on from here. And it's like I said, I really do believe that this movie's really well done and that the sequels even get better. And it's not like a cash grab situation. It's not like Despicable Me 3. Like, it's just a really good trilogy. And the Kung Fu Panda trilogy is really good as well. Like, I put them above many live action films and like most trilogies for sure. Like, you got your Godfathers, you got your John Wick, you got your, what else you want to throw in there?
Your Star Wars.
And you got your, you know, not Lord, many Lord other stuff. Rings. Lord of the Rings, for sure. You got your Planet of the Apes, Matt Reeves version.
Matrix.
Matrix.
The trilogy, never mind Resurrection.
No, I think Resurrections is, we won't get into that again. Yeah. You know how I feel.
Sure.
And then, but yeah, like most stuff sucks, right? After you at least pass.
Stuff does suck.
At least pass pretty two. True. But then I throw Kung Fu Panda and I would even throw Toy Story in there for sure. Yeah. Toy Story, Kung Fu Panda, How to Train Your Dragon. Those are great trilogies.
And then I never saw 4.
Of Toy Story?
Yeah.
It's really good. It just was not, 3 was such a good ending. Mm-hmm. And so it just made it unnecessary, even though it is really good. But yeah, so I would recommend that completely. And it helps that I have kids, but Mason wasn't even, how old are your nieces and nephews?
Let's see. The oldest is now 12. They range in age from like 5 to 12.
Yeah. They're not going to outgrow these movies for another 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
I would argue that Mason's now 9. And I think he's just now old enough to really watch even these movies. Like, he understands the beats and the character arcs instead of just dragon.
Yeah. Right? Well, like, usually it's the dragon, just the excitement of it. And like the song and dance of most of them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
my little niece is standing there singing Let It Go for the millionth time. Like,
that's a fucking bop though.
It is a bop.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Dude,
me too.
I fuck with Frozen heavy.
I listen to Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Like, more often than I want to admit.
I want to listen to that right now, really, just because you said that.
It's a really good song. Wanna
build a snowman? Do you want to catch these hands? Bitch, I'll catch you in the streets. I'm about this beef. Bitch, I'll kick your ass. I just mumbled it too, but that's funny if you guys ever want to Google that. Anything else we want to say? I mean, do we want to say? I mean,
well, how much do you think that this prepared us for House of the Dragon?
Oh, I honestly don't think I would have understood a single thing about House of the Dragon had I not watched How to Train Your Dragon.
For real.
Because picture this, bro. Picture this. Like Caraxes or C-Rax or even Vhagar ends up with some kind of fin issue and he's unable to pitch or yaw correctly. Right. And then we realize that Valerian dragon,
the dread, shows up.
That we realize that dragon needs to be trained.
Yes.
But would we have known how?
I don't know if we would. I feel like now I know.
I would say nay, having not seen this movie. But now that I have, all you got to do is build some sort of
apparatus,
kite apparatus, to hang off the tail. But that's not going to be enough in and of itself.
You're going to pedal adjust.
You're going to need some sort of contraption to adjust the extension thereof to navigate the said pitch and said yaw.
And what happens if you experience a sudden amputation?
Well, then you're going to have to change the apparatus to fit whatever prosthetic that you use.
Okay.
To cover your nub.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that an appropriate term?
Cover the nub.
I think so. I think it's a medical term.
What's Matt Smith's character's name?
Damon.
Damon.
Does Daemon Targaryen.
Does Daemon get nubified?
Well, spoilers. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Damn.
They could do whatever, though. That's the beauty of House of the Dragon. It's like there's so many like read, but they're not even reading between the lines. I mean, there's huge swaths of time that are just not detailed at all. It's like, and then 5 years later, they went here. So it's like they're going to be able to say whatever they want in that period.
Yeah. And I've read that they're actually like also going to actively do things that, other than what the book says happened, because it's a historical text and they can get away with whatever they want.
They're fallible.
Exactly.
And there's so many places where it's like, you know, Martin's writing from Maester blah, blah, blah's point of view. Right. And he's saying, you know, so the Jester Mushroom said this very salacious account that she had slept with six of the guards and da 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 da. But he's often want to make things more interesting than necessary. And then Septon Garfunkel said that it actually went like this. And you know, he recounts three different perspectives that all end in the same place.
Septon Garfunkel is an unreliable narrator for sure.
Yeah, ever since he left Simon. they have ample opportunity to fall into one of those three as the objective truth or a mixture, you know. I think that's all we've got to say on how to train a dragon or how to house a dragon for now. But there's going to be a lot more houses of dragons, a lot more rings of power.
Lots of training dragons going on in the House of Dragon.
And again, big question mark on what this week looks like. But we hoped we started your Monday off with some smiles. If you think you miss Steve, God, can't imagine how much Andy and I miss Steve. We hope that he's doing well, hammering away in his apartment.
Just shooting nail guns all over the place.
Go, Steve. Go, buddy. We love you. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
This is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.